blueprint and the way that I'm meant to do things. This is now something that I help my clients with. I'm like, nobody is a copy and paste success. You are successful when you follow your own unique blueprint. And some of us have more ability to tap into that intuition than others. And it's just rediscovering it. How are you meant to make decisions? How are you meant to feel things? Not everybody feels something when you say gut intuition or listen to your gut. Like, I'm a splenic intuition. That doesn't mean anything to me. Some people are emotional authorities. That doesn't mean anything to them. They need to ride their emotional wave. So I just would say, if there's anything that you leave with today, besides potentially buying the book off Amazon, is
they're thriving.
Is going to My Human Design. It's a free app. Jenna Zoe is really incredible at this. It's who I studied under, who I'm certified with. I highly recommend, just a great place to just start to see yourself, to learn how to come home to yourself. And if you ever want to invest in really having someone sit down and explain it all to you, then hire that mentor, whether it's myself or someone else you feel connected with, to really help you rediscover who it was that you were always meant to be.
There you go. Francesca Marie McCowan, spelled MCCAUGHAN. You can also find her on Instagram, where you're going to find some additional offers on Instagram under her name, and LinkedIn as well. So you have questions, you can connect with her there. Thank you so much for your time today, Francesca. Really appreciate it.
Yes, please come say hi, and thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you so much, Francesca. Bye-bye. All right, listeners, we're going to take a quick little break. We're going to be back with Sarah Lascano right after this.
You've been listening to The Morning Show.
KSVY Sonoma.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. The Schoen Group is affiliated with Sotheby's International Realty. Our goal is to be your realtor consultant and representative for many generations to come. For information and guidance regarding wine country real estate, you may contact us at 707-933-1515 or visit schoengroup.com.
The following show is brought to you in part by
Highway 12 Winery. Sonoma wines ranging from Sauvignon Blancs and Chardonnays to local reds such as the Mission Hardware Old Sonoma Red, with a tasting room located at 27 East Napa Street, Suite S. Hours, 11 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. daily. More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma. The Red Grape features New Haven-style pizza with thin, crispy crust high-fired in a stone-lined pizza ovens. For more information, call them at 707-996-4103. Visit their website at theredgrape.com or find them on Facebook at The Red Grape.
Unicom Tax Services, located at 755 Broadway. For more information, you can call 707-343-1898 or you can visit their website at unicomtax.com.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau, the only spot to get a regional parks pass in the valley, reminding you to support local restaurants by ordering direct and picking up your food in person. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
And now back to The Morning Show.
And we're back. It is The Morning Show on this September the 23rd. I'm Marcia Maycumber, your host here for the next hour. And we're continuing along with a lot of amazing women, with a lot of amazing programs, insights, training, expertise, all available. And we're going to turn now to Sarah Lascano. She is the founder of Raisin Energy, an energy medicine practitioner, and the author of The Hidden Force Within, which is going to be available next year. She, like others, has been through her own health journey, and hearing the words, and these are very uncomfortable words, but people do hear them. There is nothing that can help you. I mean, can you imagine anything more depressing when you've got a health problem that you're trying to address? Anyway, she's absolutely passionate now about helping other people realize that there is a way to feel better. And she is recognized as a holistic and energy healing expert, merges her medical experience and engineering training with expert healing to help people discover the root cause of their health problems and move forward in health freedom. which of course is what we're all looking forward to. Sarah, welcome to the morning show and thank you for being here today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here this morning. So tell us a little bit about your journey, about, you know, what went wrong and what brought you to where you are now.
Well, I was living the standard corporate life dream of traveling and selling software and doing consulting and, you know, not getting enough sleep, having so much fun, over-exercising, our standard stressful lives.
Yes.
And my health crashed. I was pregnant with my first child. I had a bout of food poisoning, and within 2 weeks, I had hip pain. I had joint pain in my hands. I had food sensitivities. I had digestive upsets, and it continued to spiral. I prayed that it would go away after I was not pregnant any longer, after my child was born, but it did not. And so I grew up in a Western medical family where there was always a pill for everything. And there was no pill. And when I went to the doctor, they said there was nothing I could do other than avoid the foods that caused me symptoms. And that was about 80% of what I was eating. So I had about six or so safe foods. So that was not sustainable, I didn't feel.
Yeah, not to mention you probably can't, you know, eat the things that you want to eat. You know, you've got these limitations put upon you. And you feel like your body's also put limitations on you in how and when and where you can move.
That's right. And my child had health problems too. My baby was also had colic, was definitely had belly aches, definitely had issues. So we were both a little hot mess, really, to be honest.
Wow. So talk about a powerful motivator to find out how to fix all of this. And now that's what you do. That's what you do as founder of Raisin Energy. You have found a picture for doing that. So explain a little bit about what you discovered that actually does work and how that outcome has worked for you.
So we stumbled along for close to 10 years until I found, and many things helped a little bit, but nothing really got us where we needed to be. We were still, we were surviving, but we were not thriving for sure. Until we found energy medicine. And within three sessions, we had over doubled the foods we could eat. It was miraculous. And this burning force within me said, oh my gosh, I need to be able to do this for myself because I'm tired of paying all these practitioners to try to reclaim my health for me. And so I started learning and I started working on myself and my family and very quickly started to understand the power of addressing not just the physical body, but also the mind, the past, and the energy. And so that's really what brought me to this place.
Exciting. So now you address things for your clients as well as for yourself. But I mean, what you work on can help alleviate problems with chronic pain, cancer, IBD, PANDAS, chronic strep infections, anxiety, particularly, you know, anxiety is something that can be very debilitating. So being able to relieve that is a huge thing. Food sensitivities, recovering from heart attacks, PTSD. So huge, wide range of illnesses your work helps address. Can you give us a few details a little bit about how this works so listeners know, you know, how they can get started?
Absolutely. So one of the foundational principles that I believe in and that I work with in my practice is that the body is actually a storage site. We don't think about our body storing things, but it does. It stores energy, it stores memories, it stores trauma, it stores belief systems about how we view the world. And so I will often have clients come to me that have been through a lifetime of therapy, years and years of therapy, and they still don't feel completely free of their trauma or their past or the experiences they're struggling with, their anxiety. Anxiety is a huge symptom. And so when we look at the body as a storage site, it's not just the mind, it's not just the physical body, but it's all of it put together. And when we look at the whole system that way, we can start healing things that are keeping the immune system from functioning correctly and keeping the liver from detoxifying correctly and keep the gut from getting back into balance the way it needs to.
Very important areas to cover and to help you understand. So what are the first steps for somebody who's interested in learning more in helping resolve these issues with you?
I definitely have free resources that I mm-hmm. love to make available to people. Mm-hmm. I have free mini sessions on my website. I have a stressless mini that will actually balance your system and reset stress. So I love directing people to that as just a way. It's a 10-minute audio. It's really approachable. It's not scary. As a way to just, what does it feel like for your body to get into a repairing mode? Because your nervous system in our lifestyle, unless you meditate consciously for 15 or 20 minutes a day, and even if you do, your body likely is living in a little bit too much sympathetic fight or flight always, but go without right. being able to get into that restorative mode. And some of these resources will put you there for you to experience. What does that feel like?
Yeah, that's really important. So for listeners, Sarah's website is rayzenenergy.com, R-A-Y-Z-E-N energy.com. That's where you can find it. Just land on her homepage and you can get more information there and start listening to the audio to help you out there. This makes me think, Sarah, of a lot of people who have overstimulated nervous systems, meaning that their nerve endings have so many inputs and are taking in so much that in point of fact, they start misfiring. They react to phantom inputs. So if you've ever experienced something where it feels like your fingers or your feet or something else are kind of on fire, but there's nothing else there, your nervous system, as your regular medical doctor has probably told you, your nervous system can go a little haywire on its own. So this is the place to start, right, Sarah?
It is, and I would love to share just a really simple exercise that listeners, you can do anytime, any place. And that is to just find a quiet moment, just like at your desk, at work, in your car, before you get out or start it, either way, just a quick 1 minute. It doesn't even have to be longer than a minute to tune into your five senses. Because when you tune into your five senses, you are getting completely embodied. You are focusing your awareness inside your body. And you have to quiet your mind to do that. The mind has to slow down. There's also, you can pair this with a little deep breathing. There's okay. evidence that slows down your vagus, it reboots your vagus nerve and really quiets your heart rate and your nervous system. So a couple of deep breaths and just notice, what am I feeling? Where am I sitting? Where are my feet touching the floor? What do I hear? What do I see? What do I smell? And just really getting in touch with those senses for just a minute or two is a great way to really reset your nervous system and start calming those nerves.
Yeah. That's a great idea. That's a wonderful way to kind of bring you back to a point in which you are calm and feel under control and feel like you can move forward with focus. That's a big part of our days, right? So tell us more. Yeah, right. So tell us more, Sarah.
So the other thing that does is it gets us embodied. So a lot of times our center of consciousness, our focus, think of it that way, is outside of our body. It's up in our head and it's not really embodied. So when we take that quick pause and come into the body and really notice our breath or what we're sensing, we get embodied. Now, the very important thing that that does for us is it gets us connected to our body so that our energy can actually start getting in touch with what's happening. A lot of times our nervous system isn't even aware of what's going on in our body. Mm-hmm. So just reconnecting, then we can take it to the next step, which is actually grounding the body. And so we've all heard about grounding if you're in natural healing mm-hmm. circles. We want to be grounded. We want to put our feet in the dirt sometimes, which isn't very easy sometimes for us to do. But what we can do is really connect to the body the way we just talked about, using your five senses. But you can even imagine your feet connecting to the earth and taking that last step, which is to really ground. Taking a walk with your pet, leaning mm-hmm. on a tree, just connecting to your five senses and really feeling your feet touching the ground. These are all ways to calm that nervous system and really get connected to the body so that the energy can begin to start moving properly rather than avoiding parts of you.
Right, right. What great tips, all great ways to make use of and connect to your system. So again, you can bring yourself back to a center point so that you can truly focus on what matters in front of you and move forward from a healthy point of view. Very fascinating information. We've just got a few minutes left. What else would you like our listeners to know, Sarah?
I would really like to share that big medical problems and symptoms can heal when you look at your body in this way as an integrated system, that your body has energy, your mind creates energy. So our thoughts create emotions, our thoughts create emotional energy that then impacts how we feel. So our mind is important, our emotions are important, our physical body is important, as well as our energy field. So all of these parts of us, if we can get them working together and unblocked, we can repair that innate ability to heal. And it's hard to describe until you read success stories. We can heal cancer doing this. We can cut recovery time from a heart attack at least in half. We can stop anxiety within a session or two. Like this can be amazing. So, and then we can repair the immune system to fight off chronic infections, whether it's Lyme, whether it's strep, whatever it is, whether it's viral in nature, like shingles, mm-hmm. it causes a lot of chronic pain. We can address these things. So if you've heard that there's nothing that can be done for your health symptoms, if all that has been offered to you is medication to suppress your symptoms, or worse, if you've been offered an antidepressant because there's nothing they can find and they think you're crazy, really consider looking into your energy system in an integrated way with your body to address, because you can get better. Healing is possible.
Yeah, most definitely. And I'm going to add to that, it starts with you, the individual. If Western medicine has said there's nothing that they can do, then all you need is a fresh approach from another angle, and they are out there. Practitioners like Sarah Lascano can help out so that you can find a new way to restore health to your system. And I take it now you and your child now all have good health and use these practices to maintain that health. And bring a lot more peace to your system than you were experiencing before.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's an important part of the work that I do with clients individually, is teaching them how to manage their energy to prevent new disruptions. And that's 100% possible too, to move through life and through stress and through difficult moments without hindering or damaging the body, and instead being able to move through in a light way that preserves our health. So absolutely, this is possible for everybody.
Yeah. We've been talking with Sarah Lascano. She is the founder, CEO, and chief energy healer at Ray Zen Energy. Find her at Ray Zen, RayZen, energy.com, or just Google her name and she'll come up, and you can get more information on her website. Thank you so much, Sarah. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Have a great week. Bye-bye. All right, listeners, we're going to take another quick little break. We're going to be back with Nicole Rivers right after this.
You've been listening to The Morning Show, sponsored by
Highway 12 Winery. More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma.
Unicom Tax Services, located at 755 Broadway.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. SchoenGroup.com. This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
Restful sleep has many health benefits. It helps learning and memory and reduces risk for most chronic disease and obesity. Most adults acquire 7 to 9 hours of sleep regardless of age. Things that help us sleep better at night include exercise during the day, but not just before bed. Having a calm, dark bedroom with clean, comfortable bedding and learning to relax and let go of the stress each evening. We'll sleep better if we don't eat 2 to 3 hours before bedtime, avoid caffeine later in the day, as well as alcohol and tobacco.
Join St. Francis Winery and Vineyards for the 22nd Blessing of the Animals fundraiser. Everyone is welcome. There's free admission. Bring your furry, scaly, or aquatic friends for an adorable afternoon supporting the Humane Society and other local animal charities. Enjoy the Winery Dog of the Year, contest, raffle prizes, wine, local fare, and a blessing for every animal. Proceeds benefit local rescues, including the Humane Society of Sonoma County. That's all happening Sunday, October 6th, 2:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. at 100 Pythian Road, Santa Rosa. For more information, visit stfranciswinery.com or call 888-675-WINE.
And now back to The Morning Show.
And we are back. It is The Morning Show at 9:22 on this September the 23rd. I'm Marcia Maycumber, your host here for another 40 minutes. And we've got another guest with us this morning. Nicole Rivers is here, and she's got a really important message out there, particularly for women, but this really applies to everyone. Because have you ever, like, been to a party, you know, been to an event, and maybe you're with a group of people and they're all talking and you comment and they kind of nod and then they look away and they give their attention to somebody else. It's like you're Mr. Cellophane, you know, you're being overlooked, and there are different reasons for that. Or they look at you and they think they pigeonholed you into some sort of category because of the way you're dressed that way. That can be very uncomfortable. And so Nicole's got a message about that. She's a teacher. She's actually hiding out in her school this morning, in the classroom this morning, hiding out from students for a few minutes so that she can talk with us about this important message. Nicole, welcome to The Morning Show in Sonoma, California. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I greatly appreciate this opportunity to speak with your audience.
Well, thank you, Nicole. And you and I first met actually in a program for speakers, for people looking for keynote addresses, but other opportunities to share their message with other audiences. And I was really intrigued by what you had to say and your enthusiasm about the importance of projecting the feeling, you know, the looks really do matter if you want people to perceive you a certain way. So if a CEO walks into a major, you know, Fortune 500 company, you know, wearing shorts and flip-flops, unless he's actually a Fortune 500 surfing company, It's going to seem a little bit like a mismatch, and people are going to go, well, what's the message here? Tell us how you came to this message and your own story.
Well, this is definitely a journey. This was definitely a journey of why looks do matter. I've heard what I think is a misleading statement. There's a school, y'all. A misleading statement that looks don't matter my whole life. And they would say that as a way to, you know, comfort, to assuage those that have been bullied, looked over, not considered one of the attractive crowd. And that was the least thing from the truth. If you were living in public school, like if you had to go to public school, you found out that is simply not true. You know, it was a way for adults to say, you're going to be fine. Looks don't really matter as much. And then it's who you are on the inside. And who you are on the inside is definitely important. But your looks are a part of that person. It's a part of the projection of that person. And so it's not just about, you know, what you're wearing and if you are dressed appropriate for the situation and the occasion, but it's also about having confidence in who you are and how you look, because your looks connect you to something beyond yourself. Mm-hmm. They connect you to your family. They connect you to your ethnicity. They connect you to your history. They connect you to your ancestry. And so looks tell a story about who we are, and it's a story worth exploring. And so that journey started as a little girl, for me, as a little girl in elementary school, and people picking on me about my nose and the size of it. And it's so funny. Someone, my aunt, sent me a picture of myself when I was a little girl. My husband said, "That's not you." Yes, it is. I hadn't grown into my features yet, but it is me. That is me. You know?
And our physical features do grow at different speeds.
They do. And so when you're a kid and you have all these parts that haven't quite meshed together in their best way, the best way yet, you know, you have to navigate that space. And people are very vocal about how they feel about how you look in that moment. And so, you know, wishbone legs, what I say I have, and I still have those. And then, you know, this Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, a size and colored nose, especially in the winter months or when I cry, you know, and, got those comments. And I really wanted to change that girl, that person, into someone that seemed to be more socially acceptable. And then as I grew and I got older, and I was pregnant with my first child, and she was a girl. And mm-hmm. I thought, if I were to change my facial features and she was born with them, what would that say to her?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it struck me, you know, to my core at that point. And then as I got older, you know, people would keep telling me, you look like your mother, you look like your mom, you look like your mom. And it's like, if I change that about myself, then I no longer look like my mom as much.
Yeah.
So when I start to alter myself to fit society's general perception of what I should look like, I disconnect from family and from my ethnicity and from things about me that are unique to me in order to fit someone else's, you know, right, generalized image of what beauty is.
Yeah. And heritage is such a big part of that and so important. To be able to connect you to your family, to, you know, your extended family. You know, and I really hadn't thought as much about, you know, how if you alter your looks, it takes you away from that piece. So that's really fascinating that you really focused in on that. So what do you want to tell young women who are out there who are feeling, you know, like they've been unfairly picked on for their looks or for a specific feature? Or for their overall appearance, what do you want to tell them?
Well, I want to tell young women that confidence has to begin in something that is inside of yourself and inside of your personal journey and not outside of yourself. I really want to start there. That the problem is not with you, but it's with society and the stereotypical superficial ways that we view beauty. And so, you know, I mentor young women, and in one conversation in particular, she was talking about her looks and how she didn't fit that mold. And I pointed out to her that in nature, we appreciate all sorts of diversity. That's true. We look at one puppy and then another type and another type, and they're all just so cute. And whether they have a pug nose or a long snout, or they look like a hot dog, or they can fit in the palm of your hand, or they are so big that if they jump up on you, they're taller than you. We find beauty and appreciation in all sorts of species and colors and variations and sizes. We are fascinated by those things. And then we get to people and it's like, what happens? You know? Then we get to people and their differences, and suddenly our scope of beauty and fascination with uniqueness it dwindles down to some very narrow view that somebody feeds us in magazines and commercials and social media, and then that's what we need to look like in order to be beautiful. And so the problem is not with us, those of us who have features that aren't deemed as, you know, those that are most desirable. It's with society at large, right? Because we don't do that in other places. We appreciate different aquatic life. We appreciate, you know, the different types of vegetation and fauna and flora and all the things. And then we get to people and suddenly we lose it.
Isn't that the truth? And adding on to that, with the algorithms of social media, we now only see in our individualized feeds what we click on as interest. So you can really skew perception of what you think is out there, you think is a perception of you, through the amazing but also potentially terrible effects of algorithms and social media feeds and what you see. So that makes it at least 20 times harder for youngsters today to build their sense of independence and embracing the diversity, because they're seeing so much homogenization online.
And there's a battle. There's a battle going on in this generation. When I look at commercials now for different beauty companies and skincare companies, they are diversifying.
Yes.
The types of people that represent their brand. And I think that's amazing. And then on the flip side, you see AI coming in and taking age lines away and making everyone look some other way. You have filters, you know, that cover up whatever flaws that people have. So there's a battle. There's a tug of war that is happening in this generation right now. And we get to choose which side we want to be on. Yeah. The beauty of being human is that we get to choose. And so are we going to give up our power and let someone define beauty for us, or are we going to define it for ourselves? And if we choose to get the plastic surgery, to add the false lashes, to do different things with our hair, we need to be confident in those choices and not doing it because society says this is what's beautiful. We need to do it because we say to ourselves in that personal space, I think this is what's beautiful. I think this is an enhancement. I mean, I don't believe in curtailing anyone's expression of beauty or art. And, you know, tattoos, whatever you're trying to do with your body, it's a personal choice. Mm-hmm. And we should not let an algorithm or popular opinion make that decision. So if I choose to wear false lashes, false hair, get a BBL, you know, whatever I choose to do,
right,
I should be doing it for me and not for anyone else.
So let me ask you a question. As a teacher, since you work in the school world, many schools have dress codes, and students will say, well, they're restricting my personal choices, my individuality. How do you reply to students who feel that their individuality is being crushed?
Okay, so that, they love it. Oh my goodness, that's a favorite line. You know, self-expression, individuality, or don't sexualize my body. They say all these different things. And we talk about, you know, occasion and appropriate. So we have to know the purpose for which we're attending a place and the goal of, you know, being in that place. What is it preparing us to do? And what is considered appropriate for that environment? So I do not expect anyone on the beach, unless they're getting married on a beach, to have on a tuxedo, okay, and a full gown. Like, if you are on the beach, and you're letting it all hang out, you know, depending on the rules of the beach,
right,
that is appropriate for that particular situation. And when you are walking in a school setting that is there to prepare you for your future career, supposed to help you develop in certain levels of professionalism and in academic expression, then there are some limitations on what you wear, because some of the clothes that the students are wearing are designed for clubs. Like, as an adult, I know this, right? But as kids, because they can't get into a club, they're just using the opportunity to come into a public space where there are a bunch of kids their age to show off the things, you know, that they want to show off. And I get it. I understand self-expression, but it doesn't have to involve like extreme levels of exposure or nudity. It doesn't have to involve, it doesn't have to. You can still be bright and colorful and edgy and, you know, attractive and you know, sexy or hot, whatever they say, whatever word they use now. I don't know all the words, swag, whatever. I'm older, I don't know what they are now, but you can still be those things without revealing too much of your, you know, the parts of yourself that we typically in the adult world keep covered in certain environments.
That's right.
And I know it's hard for that, but it's not a, you know, and they will bring up body shaming and things of that nature. But I'm not too far removed from being a teenager. I mean, I have some decades, but I remember, like, I haven't lost my memory. And when I was their age, I remember why I put on certain clothes. I didn't have a question. I wanted certain attention in certain places. It wasn't even a question about what I was doing. If I put it on, I put it on for that purpose. I knew exactly how I wanted to look in those jeans.
That's
in
right.
Those pants, you know, and so pretending like we don't know why we put on certain clothing, I think is, no, I don't buy it. I remember.
So
even when I was trying to be extra attractive.
So kids are smart, but you can help them out by helping them see different perspectives as yes. to when certain wardrobe choices are appropriate or inappropriate to match with the environment and the goals of what you're trying to do.
Yes. So
really good tips there. We've just got a few minutes left, Nicole. So what else would you like our listeners to know about what you do and about your expertise?
Well, I think that this problem with addressing looks starts very young and it often goes unaddressed. And for that reason, I actually wrote a children's book to address that. I have a little bit of a title I think is a little bit provocative called Mommy, Am I Ugly? And it's that vulnerability in that question, because it's the question that I wanted to ask my parents, but I didn't have the courage to ask. And it's the question that my children did ask me in their own words when they were being picked on about their looks and their features. And I realized that it can be a wound that happens in childhood that we don't really ever revisit because of the vulnerability and the hurt, so we don't ever fully heal. And so after I wrote the book, I literally cried. I think it was cathartic. It was healing to just go back to those spaces and to walk a mother and a young daughter through that conversation of some of the points that I've made earlier today. And then I've had other grown people say, you know what, I cried after I read this, because it takes them back to a place of vulnerability, but then it also engenders, it promotes healing of that little person that never really got that comfort or those answers because their classmates weren't so kind about, you know, how they looked and who they were during that season in their lives.
Yeah.
And so I have written that children's book story. It's available on Amazon, and it's there to help parents and other adults, school counselors, teachers, with a conversation that's around a very vulnerable topic.
Yeah, it sure is. It takes my memories back. Probably every little girl inside, you know, a woman is thinking back to, you know, when that thought might have cross their minds. And it could be from a very, very young age, because you could have aunts and uncles who make seemingly innocuous comments when you're very young, maybe about a, you know, a favorite little dress that you had, and that for whatever reason, they diss the dress, you know, or so, and those stick with you for a really long time. So this would be a great way to help little girls, older girls, and adult women deal with this kind of memory, this trauma, but also to overcome it and, you know, remember who you are and your individuality. So we've been talking with Nicole Rivers. She's a teacher and an author. The book that's out there right now is Mommy, Am I Ugly? You can find it on Amazon. What a great book to get for a daughter, a niece, and have a sit down and have that conversation as you read through it with them. So, Nicole, thank you so much for your time this morning. Really appreciate your expertise in this area.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it. And thanks to your audience for listening.
Thank you so much, Nicole. You have a terrific week. Thanks.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, listeners, we're going to take one more break for today before we come back again with Deborah Myers right after this.
You've been listening to The Morning Show, sponsored by
Highway 12 Winery. More information, 707-938-8815 or at highway12winery.com.
The Red Grape, located at 529 First Street West, across from the Plaza in Sonoma.
Unicom Tax Services, located at 755 Broadway.
The Sonoma Valley Visitors Bureau. For more information, visit sonomavalley.com or call 707-996-1090.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. SchoenGroup.com. This health moment is brought to you in part by Sonoma Valley Hospital.
One recent medical study concluded that our lifestyle choices contribute more to our state of health than do hereditary factors. In fact, lifestyle choices are the major factor in determining most people's health. This is a reminder that the decisions we make every day about diet, exercise, coping with stress, and even our communications with others have a powerful influence on our health and well-being. Let's remember to be self-aware and make good practices and healthy habits.
It's all about Sonoma Valley wine for the last 200 years and the Valley of the Moon Vintage Festival happening right here in Sonoma, September 26th through the 29th. Kicking off Thursday with the movie night at Sebastiani Theater, on Friday the 27th, Sonoma Valley Harvest Dinner, and then Saturday is the day, the 28th, with Plaza Daytime Activities. Kicking off with the 5K Fun Run starting at 8 a.m. Blessing of the Grapes at 9:30 from 10 to 4. Artisan Festival on the Plaza with food, beer, and wine, Kids Zone, live music, and more. The Grape Stomp at 10 a.m. Firefighter Water Fights at 11 a.m. And then at 6 p.m. The Grand Tasting at the historic Sonoma Barracks. Tickets are on sale now at the Valley of the Moon Vintage Festival.org. Happening September 26th through the 29th on the Plaza.
And now back to The Morning Show.
And we're back. It's The Morning Show. 9:43. I'm Marcia Maycomber, your host for the next 17 minutes or so, or at least close to that. And we're taking it back to Deborah Myers, who we were talking to earlier this morning. She's a certified acupressurist, a shinjitsu practitioner, wellness coach, and recipient of the President's Lifetime Achievement Award. And we didn't really talk about that earlier this morning, but that was something that you headed to New York for, I believe, in June.
Yes.
Handful of recipients from around the country. So really, this is something where the cream of the crop rose to the surface to be honored with this award for contributions. I want to say contributions to humanity kind of way. It's not listed as a humanitarian award, but it is a lifetime achievement award, and a lot of it is for your time working with children.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about what the award was for, what you have worked on in the past with children on, so our listeners know a little more?
Thank you. So I had no idea that, number one, that I was even nominated for that award. And then when I got the email saying you've been nominated, I was all, really? Okay.
How nice, and but.
and then I'm all, okay. And I investigated, okay, this is cool. But not even thinking that it was a possibility, because the award is there to recognize, if you will, folks who've been in service, giving service for thousands of hours worth mm-hmm. of time and energy and being in the place, in the space of giving. And I never have expected to receive anything for what I've done. I was never even in that place of doing. I was just being. Way back when I was in college and creating a program I was in law enforcement as a probation officer. Mm-hmm. That's what it was considered back then, being in the criminal justice system. And I created a program, a group program for the kids I was working with, which was kind of unheard of. That wasn't something done in 1974 or 75.
No.
But, you know, I wanted the youth to know that there were others out there who were also on that similar space of trying to find themselves. And my hope was it was all going to be about helping them recognize they didn't have to be efforting at being bad and then getting caught at being bad and then getting into the system because of that, quote, being bad. I wanted them to recognize that, hey, there were others out there and maybe they could actually learn from each other of how to be. So that's how it started. And I did that when I was also counselor with, back then we called them adjudicated delinquents coming out of the training schools. Oh, I hated that incarceration. And so I kept creating, and then I became, I was a trained mediator, predominantly working with child custody and divorce cases, but at the same time, fell into an awesome program in Boulder, Colorado, where I was helped create a program to bring kids off the street and back into their homes. So it was a mediation program between the kids and their parents.
Yeah. Well, that's needed sometimes.
Yeah. More often than not, a lot of times, which is, you know, that's sometimes parents aren't aware of what their child is really talking about or thinking about or believing about themselves.
Yeah.
Until we could get a conversation going.
Yeah.
And so it's all about creating conversation. So that was happening. And then I guess I was always in training mode in the sense of teaching possibilities or offering, mm-hmm. sharing possibilities. And through all the different hats I wore. And then when I was back in 1993, I was in a really bad car accident and ended up in pretty bad shape, multiple herniated discs, refused surgery because I knew what was going to work for me, because 4 years I'd been learning this stuff called energy medicine and how the body can be in a state of balance and harmony energetically if you just help it along.
Yeah. And you knew that accident changed your life, direction in life.
Yeah. Because it's almost like then I went full circle backwards in a way, shoo, to that 1973-74 time period where I was already learning about energy medicine. I just never thought I could do it for my livelihood.
Yeah.
There wasn't a way. Well, I discovered there was a way. And now I've been in private practice for over 30 years. And part of what I spend a lot of time with, and I think was also then representative with the award, was creating programs for kids in schools and showing everyone, all ages, that we all can be a participant with our own bodies and learn a way that's easy to learn to help this body you walk around be in a state of balance and harmony, available for whatever you want to do and whoever you want to be,
right,
just by doing that thing called self-help acupressure. And that's what I love teaching.
Yeah. And so it's very fun that your career with kids morphed around through all those other stages and then came back to this, you know, how, you know, body, mind, spirit, all that ties together again, and how can kids can use it. Because for the most part in schools, you know, you're taught brainy things. You're taught English, math, science, all those things. If you're lucky, depending on the school, you may get taught about the fine arts and music and you know, art projects and things like that.
Music.
And then there is the physical end of things. So then you get to go out for recess. You get to use the body in recess, play on the playground. And you may go to phys ed class where you do, you know, rover, come over and ball games and little team games and get frustrated because you're not the one picked first for the team sports. And they still seem to do that kind of stuff. But nobody teaches what you teach on that kind of stuff. And you teach adults as well.
Yes,
and let's talk a little bit more. You've got a workshop coming up in October.
I do.
For people. Tell us a little bit about that.
Great. Thank you. So it's called The Great Pain Escape. I believe that no matter what your body is in the midst of, mm-hmm, there might be some residual pain involved, and which is why it's you're not able to get from where you are to where you want to be, mm-hmm, physically, mentally, or emotionally. And so pain can be physical experience in the body, whether it's from injury or chronic conditions or an ailment, or whether it's past or acute. It can be from emotional experience, whether, again, it be past or current. And it could be from mental confusion, whatever it might be. Could even be that thing called mind chatter.
Right.
You got caught up in that stuff that's bringing around in your brain, and it can become painful. It can create a headache.
Yeah.
And to help our bodies recognize what it is and let it go, change the pattern, because that's all we get. You know, that's the beauty of what we get to do for ourselves. So in this workshop, which is happening beginning October 9th, it's three Wednesday evenings in a row for an hour. It's virtual. It's on Zoom. I'm offering a really great a special, if you will, for your our listeners, our audience.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to my website and learn more about it.
Right.
So reach out to me at Deborah@DeborahMyersWellness.com right, to get your special.
Yeah, there you go. Great way to do it. And again, that's Deborah, DEBORAH, Myers, MYERS, wellness.com. That's the website address. And of course, she's Deborah@DeborahMyersWellness.com is the email address,
yeah,
to get your special offer if you're interested in participating in this. Because there's a lot of information that Deborah can impart here. And we just have a few minutes left. What, you know, should we go back to the 9-step daily house cleaning thing that we were talking about, or something else?
I would love to.
Okay.
In fact, again, on my website, you can sign up to receive your very own copy of the animated video of the daily Clean Your House Flow.
Right.
All you have to do is click on that box that says get rid of anxiety, mm-hmm, and let go of stress, and put in your name and email address. And the 6.5-minute video, animated video of what we're talking about, is available to you for free. It's my gift to everyone, because I want any person, no matter what age, whether they're 3 or 4 or 5, all the way up to 97,
right,
or beyond.
Yes,
it's available. And the first step that we did last time was give yourself a hug. And that's literally with light, gentle touch and connecting with that energy balance area anywhere from your elbows on up, mm-hmm, brings in breath, opens up your vascular system. So it can literally help all systems in your body let go. And then the next step is to sit on your hands. That sounds silly, I know. And at the same time, it connects with an energy balance point. it's all about vitality. Yes. So when you do that, it gives you a boost to the point of energy vitality, as well as boosts up your immune system. Hello.
Great.
And did you notice right then that you got in a really good posture?
Yep. Your posture increases. This is also a great one to do like in the afternoon when you're feeling like you're hitting the 3 o'clock doldrums and you really want a nap, but you've got work projects that you have to get done.
Well, it's almost like taking a walk or having a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Now, the last step in the daily clean your house flow is called jumper cables. And this is one all ages love. Kids are super special with it because they recognize intuitively how good it feels. And it's simply cupping each thumb and finger, very gently touching one thumb. Doesn't matter which hand you start, couple good breaths, and then the index finger, couple good breaths. And all that's in the animated video. And when you sign up for that, you'll get even a lot more information. Plus, if you go to the workshop, you'll learn this and a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And when you're connecting with the jumper cables, you are accessing every single emotion. I'm not saying emotion is bad because that's what makes us human. But when we allow our emotions to be available to give us information, then we're ahead of the game. So we can help get rid of worry fast. Yeah. Worry, anxiety, that thing called anxiety, excuse me, that's the wrong term. It needs to be anxiousness.
Yeah.
Because when we're in anxious mode, we recognize it's a moment in time.
Yeah.
We don't need that label. So you can help let go of worry, concern, fear, anger, sadness, trying to, efforting. We can let go of it all to help the body process and promote it to be available for anything you want to do, no matter what your age. So when I'm with kids, it's about accessing how they want to feel to be able to do those sports we were talking about. Or how about, hey, I bring it up when I'm with kids. How many of you play video games? And at first there's this like, oh, I'm not going to raise my hand and show it. And I said, no, you got to be truthful right now. Please. Don't think anybody's looking at you. Raise your hand, because don't you want to be a success at what you're doing? And so we access, no matter what they want, who we are, what we want to do in the world, it's available to you. Yeah. Even having breath.
Even having breath, something that we do all the time, just like winding up the show for the day.
Yes.
Something we do all the time. We've been talking with Deborah Myers. Find her and her offer at DeborahMyersWellness.com. You can also look her up on LinkedIn, of course, is a great way to get connected as well. Or just email Deborah at DeborahMyersWellness.com to learn more about the upcoming workshop in October on the Wednesday evening. So, Deborah, thank you for your time today.
I thank you. And it has, as always, been a joy. I love having... being able to say yes when you reach out.
Say yes is a great thing. So we'll say yes to the rest of the week. Thanks, Deborah. All right. Bye-bye. And listeners, we're going to sign off here because Simon Says Sports is coming up right now. It's coming up right now at 10 o'clock with Simon Blattner and his team. Have a great week. I will be back here next Monday morning, 8 o'clock. See you then. Bye-bye.
Should I stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So come on and let me know. This indecision's bugging me.
Indecision, they molest us.
If you don't want me, set me free. Exactly whom I'm supposed to be. Don't you know which clothes even fit me? Come on and let me know. Should I cool it or should I blow? We'll be right back.
stay or should I go now? Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble. And if I stay, it will be double. So you gotta let me know.
KSVY Sonoma.
Programming for KSVY is brought to you in part by
The Schoen Group, located in beautiful downtown Sonoma. The Schoen Group is affiliated with Sotheby's International Realty. Our goal is to be your realtor consultants and representatives.